We are starting the Mystic Pete Chronicles. I'm Mystic Pete. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. In today's show, strong female voices. Later in the program, I do an interview with Amy and Nancy Harrington of the Passionistas Project. They're producing Power of Passionistas Summit 2022, starting September 21st. Along the way, personal stories by Melissa Bird, Kylie Stone, and Elena Christopoulos. Also, music by Gwen Stefani, Christina Aguilera, and Alanis Morissette. Now, Gwen Stefani and Christina Aguilera were clients of Irving Azoff. There's a show at the Wallace in Beverly Hills on September 21st featuring Shelley and Irving Azoff, a night not to be missed. More information at thewallace.org. At the Pantages, you can see a show called Jagged Little Pill featuring music by Alanis Morissette. BroadwayInHollywood.com for more information about that show, which starts September 13th and goes till October 2nd. Stay tuned!
Sisters, let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister.
Oh.
Getting love from the dudes, four badass chicks from the Moulin Rouge.
Hey, sisters, soul sisters, better get that dough, sisters.
We drink wine with diamonds in the glass by the case, the meaning of expensive taste.
We want a itchy, yeah.
Come on,
mocha chocolate.
What?
Rio Lady Mamu.
One more time, come on.
Rise.
name is Dr. Melissa Bird. I am a lay preacher, public speaker, author, and life coach, and I live in Corvallis, Oregon. And I am the founder of the Mermaid's Garden, which is a regenerative and sustainable retreat space and aquaculture farm. And also, I'm the CEO of my company, Dr. Melissa Bird, where I teach people how to engage in acts of graceful revolution that change the reality of people's lives. One of the things that I love about my life is that I have been a lobbyist for Planned Parenthood of Utah. I have a master's degree and a PhD in social work. I used to get paid to cause trouble at the Utah State Legislature, and I have written an entire dissertation about reproductive justice and women's access to reproductive health care. I have taken all of my life experiences and turned them into the story that is one of grace and revolution. And I think the thing that is so profound about the work that I do every day, where I help people tap into their intuition, learn how to listen to the story of their soul, and connect with the things that really cause them to get up in the morning. The thing that I love so much about this work is that every single day, I don't know what's going to happen. And there's something really profound in falling into this idea of mystery and wonder that, honestly, I have no idea what's going to go on a day-to-day basis. There's something so profound about getting to teach people from my life experience how to have their life experience and how to really connect with this idea that though we are intertwined and interwoven and living in this beautiful community on earth, that we are also here with a divine purpose on purpose. And when we think about our purpose and being here on purpose, it completely shifts the way we interact with the world. One of the things that I love to do when I preach or when I'm speaking or when I'm working with my clients is I love to imagine a world where we recognize that we are not above, separate and above nature, but we are of nature. As I sit and look at the rivers and the trees and the forests and the oceans and the mountains, and I think about this great big ball of Mother Earth, one of the things that I find to be missing for many people is this idea that we are perfectly imperfect because we are of the Mother Earth. We are of nature, and nature is inherently imperfect. We are born put together crooked. Nothing lines up in our bodies perfectly symmetrically. And the minute we realize and recognize that we are not meant to be perfect, it allows us the freedom to expand into our purpose here on earth. And over the years, as a Christian and a witch and a healer and a prophet, I have started to realize that one of the things that we are all missing is the joy that comes from speaking to each other, the joy that comes from approaching people who don't think and act like we do, who are different than we are, who are expansive in their own rights and contracting in their own rights, and who are also here trying to figure this whole thing out. One of the things that I love to encourage people to do is just surrender. When we surrender into the mystery and the unknowing of the universe, it allows so much more beauty to come into our lives. It allows us to live in an abundant framework where we don't have to be afraid all the time. It allows us to transmute our grief into possibility. And that's one thing that I think people are really going through right now, is a really deep, deep collective grief cycle. And if we allow ourselves to move through this cycle with compassion and love for ourselves first and other people second, then we will be able to change the entire course of the way we operate on this planet. And if we give ourselves love and compassion and grace first and others love and compassion and grace second, then we will also fall into the rhythm of the Mother Earth. And we will start to realize that it is actually our natural tendency to love and connect and be compassionate towards each other instead of being divisive and cruel and angry with each other. And so through all these years and all this fight and all this struggle, what I've come to realize is that the true revolution is in us being wondrous with ourselves, compassionate towards ourselves, and expansive towards ourselves in a way that allows us to disrupt this mantle of perfection to really surrender to our true nature.
Mystic Pete here with Amy and Nancy Harrington of the Passionistas Project on August 31st, 2022. Hi, Amy and Nancy.
Hello. Hi, Pete. Thanks for having us.
I featured your organization and some of the stories you've recorded on my other shows, and I love to feature you guys. You're doing wonderful work, just to get into it. There's so many attacks on women these days and such awful rhetoric and propaganda putting women down, often subtly. We need people like you who are taking care of women and speaking truth and telling their stories. And you have Power of Passionistas Summit coming up in a few weeks. Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, Pete, we want to say thank you for your support, because you have been a great ally for us. And not only do we need women like us speaking for women, but we need men like you who are allies for us. So we really, really appreciate the support.
I am indeed. Absolutely. Yes. Men need to stand up for women, too, of course. Isn't standing up for women and children and the vulnerable the definition of real manhood?
That's right. And that's why we always, the summit is open to men as well. It's only women and non-binary people on the panels, but men are always welcome to come and join, because it's very eye-opening for men. But the Power Passionista Summit is a three-day virtual event. We have women from all around the world, and we have 3 days of panels that are storyteller events. So everybody on the panel tells a five-minute story, and then the women get together after for a roundtable and discuss the stories that they've just heard. And, you know, all of these women are from diverse intersectional backgrounds, so it's interesting to hear the different perspectives on the same topic. And so then they can talk about how the topic affects them in similar ways and how they differ. And it really is quite an amazing thing to witness, to see all of these diverse women coming together and working together to try to solve some of the problems that women face today.
And we have topics like the power of media, the power of transformation, the power of authenticity, power of decolonization. So it's a really great diverse mix of topics and really amazing powerhouse women this year.
So your website is thepassionistasproject.com. It's Wednesday, September 21st, 2022 through the 23rd, through Friday. I was just looking at the website. It's just a fantastic collection of experts and interesting people you've assembled.
These women are incredible, and non-binary people this year as well. And they are some of the most amazing thought leaders, activists, authors, entrepreneurs. I mean, these women come from all over. I mean, we have women from Australia, Singapore, France, Canada, all across the United States. And they are really some of the most incredible women and non-binary people we have ever met. And we know a lot of them individually, and to bring them together and to hear them have conversations with each other is going to be so cool. And we're also giving the Passionistas Persist Awards, which we give every year, to six women this year. Last year we gave two. We gave one to Dr. Jane Goodall and one to Margaret Cho. This year we're giving six awards, so we present the award, and then we also do a short interview with all of these women. So the women that are getting Passionistas Persist Awards this year, like Lorraine Newman, who was in the original cast of Saturday Night Live, I mean, these women are just mind-bogglingly cool. We couldn't be more honored to have this group of women come together this year.
I appreciate that you're representing the LGBTQ community. The society has taken such an ugly turn towards attacking this community. It's just heartbreaking to see this frothing meanness towards very vulnerable people. You know, we really need to speak up.
Yeah, you know, and it's really, really important to us to represent these marginalized communities. And, you know, with the fall of Roe recently, that's been hard enough for all of us to handle. But, you know, we all know that the next shoe to drop is they're going to go after same-sex marriage. And that just can't happen. You know, it's crazy in this world. So we are thrilled to have a huge representation of the LGBTQ community this year on our panels. And it's always really important to us to represent those people.
Yeah, we have really always tried to be inclusive, especially of trans women who often do not get to speak on their own behalf and are majorly victimized and really need to have a platform to tell their stories. And we're really excited this year to be including non-binary people because that's really important to us. And we finally are able to open the doors and present the stage to those people in that community as well. So we're really honored that there are non-binary people that have decided to join us too.
Yeah, you know, Amy and I have always felt with the summit and with the Passionistas Project in general that, you know, our role here is just to provide a platform. I mean, we acknowledge that we're a very privileged white women. We have had our share of ups and downs in our lives and difficult times, but we realize that, you know, we have it so much easier than so many other women. And so you really won't see a lot of us on the stage. You know, we do a few introductions here and there. We do a couple of the interviews during the Persist Awards. But it's really, you know, our job here is to open up a platform for these women to tell their own stories and their own voices, which they don't often get a chance to do.
Once again, the PassionistasProject.com. You have over 1,400 interviews, oral histories, and personal stories you've done. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. With the oral histories we do for the Television Academy, who are the people that do the Emmy Awards every year, they have a collection of over, we think, 1,000 at this point, oral history interviews. So they're 3 to 4 hour long interviews with actors and people behind the scenes in television. So we've been honored to do about 60 of those. And we've done the Emmys red carpet for them. We've done hundreds and hundreds of interviews for our own website with celebrities. So we've been very lucky to have this career as celebrity interviewers, and that's what we spun off. We decided to use those skills for the Passionistas Project to focus our attention specifically in this project on women, because we thought this was an important time in the world to do that.
Well, why don't you drop some names?
Well, probably one of the most fun archive interviews that we did was one day we got to go to Penny Marshall's house and interview Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams. Those of you who are in the know that they are Laverne and Shirley. And so we got to interview Laverne and Shirley together at the same time at Penny Marshall's house, spend the day with them. And it was a pop culture girl's dream.
That was a great day. And then, one of the big highlights for us is we also have done interviews, produced interviews, and conducted some for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And one day we got to produce an interview with Mick Jagger. And that was pretty mind-boggling.
And a lot of this material is up on the website, so I would encourage people to peruse.
There are links out to the archive interviews, which are really fun. That's a rabbit hole to go down if you got some time. Those interviews start with what was your name at birth and go all the way through how do you want to be remembered. So if there's a celebrity or type of career in the entertainment industry, like, oh, I want to be a director, go and watch the interviews with the directors on there. You will learn all about directing from people who have done it.
Yeah, stunt people, makeup artists, hairdressers. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just a treasure trove of pop culture goodness.
Yeah.
And you have a number of other projects going on too. Puppets.
We do have puppets.
You found the puppets.
We love our puppets. We know we started the puppets in 2016 when the world took a dark turn and we just needed some joy in our lives. And so we reverted back to a childhood crafting phase, and we started doing pop culture puppets. And we started with our first set of puppets were our 2016 Emmy predictions, and we've gone on from there. We've made about 75 puppets to date. Right now we are working on a collection. We're trying to merge our two passions, and we're making a collection of female, you know, women in history sock puppets. So we're doing Amelia Earhart and Joan of Arc and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and many, many famous women. We hope to make a book and a deck of playing cards and a bunch of fun paraphernalia using our sock puppets.
I love it. tell me about the subscription box and podcast on your website.
So, yeah, the whole Passionistas project started with a podcast. We decided at the height of the Me Too movement was when we made the shift to wanting to take our pop culture positivity and focus on women-centric businesses and female activists and artists. And so we started with the Passionistas Project podcast, and we interview women who are following their passions to inspire other women to do the same. And while we were doing that, we started to meet all these women who had amazing products. And, you know, women-owned businesses get far less funding than male-owned businesses. They get less attention. They need more support. So we decided to launch the Passionistas Project Pack, which is a quarterly subscription box full of products from women-owned businesses and female artisans. So every 3 months, if you're a subscriber, you get a box full of goodies from women, you know, and female entrepreneurs. And within that, we continue our passion for doing interviews, and we include written interviews with all of the women who have products in the box, so that not only are you getting these great products, but you're also learning more about the women and connecting with their stories. And we have just found that the women who subscribe go back and buy directly from these entrepreneurs because they feel a certain connection to them. So it's really helped kind of connect all the dots for us. You know, the interviews, the products, the summit, everything just kind of comes together. And it's just really a platform where we're trying to help women rise above all the challenges on a daily basis.
Yeah, and we've just built this incredible community of women that come together and support each other. And so we would just encourage anyone listening to become part of our community, because it really is a truly special place to be.
All of the lovely things you just described, if you mention in some political circles, you will be attacked as representing the horrible woke. I mean, it's just like normal, beautiful things people are doing to support diverse communities is now under such attack.
But we have a theory about that too, which is the more we get to know these women from marginalized communities especially, and the more we realize that they are smarter and stronger and harder working than anybody we've ever met, because they've had to be able to compete in the world where they have all these disadvantages stacked up against them. Part of the reason they're being held down is because certain unwoke people are really afraid of what's going to happen when they finally rise up, because they are unstoppable. And luckily for us, they're all really good people who will use their powers for good. But these are the backbone of the world changing for the better. And so that's why we're honored to know all these women and excited to help share their perspectives and their voices with everybody. Because these are the women that are going to change the world.
Amy and Nancy Harrington, the PassionistasProject.com. You're putting on the Power of Passionistas Summit 2022. It's a virtual event. It's online, focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion in issues important to women. And that's Wednesday, September 21st, 2022, through Friday, the 23rd. Thank you so much for your time. 100% behind you.
Thank you so much, Pete. Thanks for having us. And thank you again for all of your support. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete.
Hi, recommend getting your heart trampled on. Walking around naked in your living room.
being a leader is not easy. I got my first role as a leader when I was 27. I took the traditional path that most Westerners take. You know, go to school, get a good education, go to college to get a good job, you know, work hard and get a pay rise, go to university and get a promotion until you get a seat at the table and you become a leader. On the 11th of April, 2011, I walked back into the office after having 3 children in 3 years. And for the first time in my life, I thought, I can't see how to make this work. I wanted part-time, but my boss wanted full-time. I negotiated splitting the role, but within months, I was frustrated. After 12 years of climbing the ladder, I felt like Baby Houseman in Dirty Dancing, sitting in the corner, isolated and ostracized. So I went back to university. I got a coach, a mentor. I stockpiled my bedside table with Robin Sharma's How to Lead Without a Title, Google Search Inside Yourself, The Great Work of Your Life, and Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In. And I discovered one universal challenge, our view of leadership. We identify leaders with a title. We think great leaders make extraordinary sacrifices. And we think leadership is for someone who has a seat at the table with a long list of credentials. But this view of leadership is an illusion. And it's preventing us from realizing our potential as leaders. It's stifling our opportunities to advance as leaders. It's stifling our effectiveness as leaders. And it's also stifling our opinions about those who are leaders. But there is another way. I call it the A game. 4 practices that have helped me and others in realizing our potential as leaders, no matter who we are, where we come from, or what we do. Now, I come from a long line of women who fought against discrimination. In fact, we talk about leadership as people who mobilize others towards a vision. When we talk about mobilizing ourselves, it starts with having the courage to tell the truth about what's not working. So the first practice is acknowledgement. So I took my CV, which was a listicle of 20 things I'd done in my 20s, and I rewrote it to focus on my strengths and my accomplishments. And I'm standing in line waiting for coffee when a colleague asked, "How are you?" I was like, pissed off. I've been sidelined as a leader just because I'm part-time. She says, same here. That's when I realized I was not alone. I started a group for women who, like myself, were struggling with how to advance as a leader while taking care of kids and dealing with a lack of equality in leadership. I was shocked. Diverse group of women, all senior and ostracized. Every one of us working hard on valuing everyone else while not valuing ourselves. You know, it's easy to blame the company or society or the government, and in some cases even blame ourselves. But this is our life, not someone else's. So the second practice is accountability. You know, being accountable is an opportunity to carve out a new future. It's an opportunity to let go of blaming ourselves and to look at, what do I need? How can I move forward instead of waiting for the roll of the dice to see what somebody else is going to do? I'm in a leadership program. My peers nominated me to be a leader. Next thing I know, I'm standing at the front of the room waiting for objections, and the leader calls out, being a leader is a bad idea. I wonder, is it work-life balance? Do I have the right skills? Is it the imposter syndrome? Or is it discrimination? You know, I'm an Aboriginal woman, a descendant of the stolen generations of the Waka Waka and Kalali nations, a generation of Aboriginal people who were forcibly removed from their families. My great-grandmother was 2, my grandmother was 3, and my mother was 5. Despite being only 16 when I was born, my mother fought against forced adoption, making me the first woman in 4 generations to not be forcibly taken from my family. Now, I've overcome a lot of adversity, abuse, infidelity, postnatal depression, discrimination, autoimmune condition, but none worse than my own judgment that I don't belong, that what I have to say doesn't matter. But when we can authentically own that we are accountable for how life turns out, we have enormous power. So creating things like future-based statements, like a vision and purpose, are incredibly powerful. But in my experience, they mostly just end up on a wall or in a document. You know, a famous psychotherapist once said that we're our best when we have clarity about our goals, when we're taking actions in pursuit of those goals, when we're seeing results in line with those goals, and when our thoughts and actions do not conflict. Now, that is a lot easier said than done. So the third practice is alignment. So it was the 5th of March, 2014, I got an email that a colleague had taken his life. It was my son's 7th birthday. I walked in the door, I sat down, and my husband starts crying. The business is going into administration, we're going to lose the home. We were 2 weeks away from launching our very first event for the Women's Mentoring Group, and I stopped. I rang and told them everything. I said, we need to stop it. And they said, no, take whatever you need. So I took the time off to take care. I realized at that time, there was nothing more important than taking care of my family and my own well-being. So the final practice is action. And it sounds simple because it is. And yet how many of us get stuck for days, weeks, months, years, sometimes forever, not taking action on the things that are truly important to us? See, when we take action despite what we think, we realize that we are much stronger than we give ourselves credit for. In fact, not taking action is what leads to the downward spiral of doubt. In 2015, I did it. I took a leap. I started my own business. And in 2018, I was acknowledged by our Office for Women for my contribution to advancing women in leadership. And last year, I was acknowledged by LinkedIn's top 20 voices. After 28 years of being in the business of storytelling, I discovered that the real power of storytelling lies in our own stories. You know, telling my own story has been one of the bravest things that I've ever done. So taking action despite what we think is not some magic spell. It is about taking action despite the challenges and on our own views to see what is and isn't possible. Being a leader is not easy, but it is simple. It's not anything to do with having a title. It's got nothing to do with self-sacrifice or having a long list of credentials. Being a leader is about having a passion for something that's much bigger than ourselves. So to anyone else who thinks being a leader is a bad idea, I invite you to join me in what I'm officially declaring a new paradigm of leadership, an opportunity to carve out a new future and take action in direct alignment with our vision, our values, and our purpose. You know, Margaret Mead once said, "Never underestimate the power of a small group of committed people to change the world. In fact, it is the only thing that ever has."
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. I know the version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Quite as well, I thought.
you should know. Did you forget about me, Mr. Duplicity? I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. There was a slap in the face, how quickly I was replaced. And are you thinking of me when you f*** her? Cause the money that you gave that he made was the name of the lake, and enough for you to be open wide. No. And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd hold me until you die?
My name is Elena Christopoulos. I'm a climate scientist, political consultant based in Santa Monica, California, and Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and this is my story of equality. I grew up in Europe and traveled quite a bit when I was young. It really allowed me to think outside the box. As a child, I had a huge appreciation for the food we ate, the water we drank, the air we breathed. I knew where everything came from. It was just the way I grew up. And it caused me to have a huge passion for Mother Nature, for all its glory, and I had that early on in life. Fast forward to starting university. I went to Queen's University in Canada, and using other influences in my life, plus my upbringing, I had this vision to implement a wind turbine in downtown Toronto. Now, many people thought my vision was unusual, shall we say. I didn't have a track record of this. It was an idea. Nonetheless, I went to try to recruit folks who thought this idea and help me with this. Interesting enough, men stepped up and women did not. I really had to recruit the women. The usual response would be, Elena, I'm not qualified enough. Elena, I don't have the confidence. Elena, I don't think I can do it. And I didn't hear that response from one man. I didn't hear it at all from one man, and this is an undergrad in university. So I took pause. And none of the men told me that they felt unqualified for the job. Not one. So, you know, I started to think, where are the women in STEM? I mean, I got into science because I didn't see any women in my classrooms. I didn't see any women in public school, in elementary school. So where are the women in STEM? And here I am implementing an idea, and again, where are the women? So the job got completed. I recruited enough women. and happy to say that it was 60% women and BIPOC and LGBTQIA+. And that was no easy feat. I really had to recruit women. And because of that, I got beautiful project. We worked wonderfully together, and it was the beginning of my career, which I didn't know. The turbine took 256 homes off the grid, and it's really because of the women, I have to say. So the project finished, it wrapped, and I was approached by a person running for mayor of a very large city, and the mayor said to me, you know, are you interested in running my campaign? Now, my first response was, I don't have a political science degree, I've never worked in politics. And he stopped me cold in my tracks and said, Lena, you're trying to tell me you're not qualified enough, because I'm actually coming to you for the request. So it looked like the same exact thing that happened when I was trying to recruit women in STEM for a wind turbine project now was at my door. So I took this opportunity to my three mentors who I've had quite early on in my life, and they said to me, so Elena, what do you think? Do you actually like the platform? Do you agree with what's going on? And just before I started to say I don't think I can do this, I don't think I'm not qualified, my mentor stopped me cold in my tracks again and said, Elena, he's chosen you. It's really up to you if you want to go forward in this. He really already thinks you're qualified. And you know, most women feel that they have to have 100% of the qualifications for any job they go after. Where men, it's about 60%. And that's still true today, actually. So what happened? I realized, looking around, where are the women in science? Where are the women in politics? I created my own consulting firm. I also, hearing that response in me, hearing doubt to my younger self, well, I'm going to be kind to myself, but it's difficult to hear me say those things. So I created a consulting firm because of the STEM gender gap. You know, as a climate scientist and political consultant, I realized early on that there was this gender gap, and I wanted to do something concrete. I wanted to create a pathway for women into science and politics, if they chose it. So to date, that one wind turbine in downtown Toronto, which took 256 homes off the grid, was the first urban-sited wind turbine, the first micro-feed-in tariff program. It's created 500,000 jobs. And we are just getting started. I'm really happy to say. It's my lifetime goal to increase the percentage of environmental scientists from 28% to 50%. I'm getting closer with my consulting firm and with mentoring women. So, was creating a firm daunting? Of course it was, but I wouldn't change a thing. It's important to use your voice, and I decided to use it by helping women, BIPOC, LGBTQIA, and representation. Representation matters. It's really important. Because it's important for younger generations to see themselves in boardrooms, in science labs, on campaigns, on the campaign trail. Mentoring is also important, and I highly recommend that you find a mentor as soon as you can. I don't care if you're just beginning your career or at sunset of your career, mentors give you perspective that you can't otherwise find in any other way. Now, I urge you all to do something and try something at your comfort zone. Taking risks, because you know what? The rewards are so wonderful. And of course, you're most likely to fail a few times. I did. But that's where the learning is, you see. Failing forward and moving forward, because I know you can do it. I know it won't be easy, but do believe in yourself and, hey, give it a try. I recently heard this mantra from a Peloton instructor. Her name's Christine. I am, I can, I will, I do. I am, I can, I will, I do. I am, I can, I will, I do. Powerful words, powerful mantra, and really apply to anything in your life.
happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy. Yeah. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. And what it all comes down to is that every man's gonna be fine, fine, fine. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is giving a high five. I feel drunk, but I'm sober.
We are coming to the end of the Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. In today's show, strong female voices. I interviewed Amy and Nancy Harrington of the Passionistas Project. As we discussed, they're producing Power of Passionistas, Summit of 2022. ThePassionistasProject.com for more information about that. We heard personal stories by Melissa Bird, Kylie Stone, and Elena Christopoulos, produced by Amy and Nancy Harrington. Also, music by Gwen Stefani, Christina Aguilera, and Alanis Morissette. Gwen Stefani and Christina Aguilera were clients of Irving Azoff. There's a show at the Wallace in Beverly Hills on September 21st featuring Shelley and Irving Azoff. A night not to be missed. More information at thewallace.org. At the Pantages, you can see a show called Jagged Little Pill featuring music by Alanis Morissette. BroadwayInHollywood.com for more information about that show, which starts September 13th and goes till October 2nd. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with the best of talk radio. Mystic Pete out.